Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching for regular Sunday morning services.
Last Sunday, we got away from the book of Proverbs, but this morning I want to go back to it. I've had time to catch my breath and, you might say, gather my troops and get back on this wonderful book that's found in the Bible. And it's almost an overwhelming book to study and to try to preach from because there's so much in it. But yet, it is so important, I believe, that we want to continue with it. And so what I'm going to do is just continue in the book of Proverbs. And when we've been in it for a while, if I feel a need to step away from it for a Sunday, we might bring you a message from another portion of Scriptures. But this morning, we have come to, I believe, chapter 11 of the book of Proverbs. And I do hope that you've been praying about it and reading through it. And you may have that list that I gave some of you a couple of Sundays ago that have some categories that you can list some of these Proverbs under. And I'm not going to get in a hurry in going through these Proverbs because they're all so very important to us as Christians. So we're going to look at chapter 11. I'm going to read the first four verses, which I believe tie together. But this morning our focus is going to be primarily upon verse 1. Chapter 11, the book of Proverbs. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. We've described Proverbs by William Arnott in what he said about the book of Proverbs, that they are laws from heaven for life on earth. And the theme of Proverbs, of course, is to know wisdom. Wisdom means skillful living, like a craftsman that is skilled in some trade and knows how to develop a beautiful project. The Lord has given us His Proverbs to use in our lives that we might develop a beautiful life and that we might be able to mold our life according to God's Word. The benefit, of course, of Proverbs, knowing them and applying them in our lives, is a peaceful, productive, and abundant life. And I believe it's our Father's desire for all of His children because He loves us. He's given us the chisel and the hammer. He's given us all the tools that you and I need as Christians to mold our lives conformable to that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Each Proverbs represents a practical way. The consequences of two ways, you might say, wisdom's way and, of course, the way of wickedness, as the Proverbs themselves state, or the theology of two worlds, the theology of heaven and the theology of this world itself. And sometimes these are placed side by side beside one another, that you and I can see in a contrast God's way versus a way that is not profitable or a wicked way. Now, the first verse of chapter 11 has to do with the balance. A false balance. And the writer of Proverbs says that this is an abomination to God if we use a false balance. And if I were to give my message a title this morning, I would say it's weighing ourselves, or excuse me, let me back up. I would call it self-examination, or weighing ourselves in the balance of God's Word. Now remember, a lot of this is written from a father to his son. And he wanted his son to be honest with himself and honest with his dealings with those all around him. And I believe that every father could say that, and every one of our Heavenly Father would say that to every one of us as his children. And some of these things that we're going to go through in the Proverbs, we understand are going to step on our toes. They're very, very specific. And so this morning, we're going to talk about weighing ourselves in the balance of God's Word, or self-examination. Now, some of you go to Weight Watchers. And you go to Weight Watchers, and some of you may not go to Weight Watchers, but you got a set of scales in your house. And you step up on those scales from time to time, and you take a look at those numbers. And some of you can be very, or some of us, we can be very, very concerned about what those numbers roll around and look like. We might step up on them sometimes and say, man, I really didn't know I'd gotten that far off base. I thought I was pretty well watching what I was eating and getting a little exercise. But you know, my clothes seem to fit a little tight, you know, that suit really, I don't think it's really the suit itself. I mean, me, I think it's the suit itself. The suit's kind of shrinking up a little bit, something wrong with that material that thing's made out of. And it's getting old and worn out, and it just seems like that there's just something wrong with that. But yet when we step on those scales and we look at those numbers roll around and you would say, well, you know what? It's really not the material or the fabric that's the problem. I'm weighing myself on an accurate measure here, and it looks to me like things are changing in my body, and I'm really gaining a little bit of weight. You know, we can be very concerned with our natural weight, but yet when it comes to measuring our spiritual weight, or measuring our own selves according to the standard of God's Word, sometimes we can care less. We are not really involved in that in our lives on a daily basis. But we find that there is a great difference or a great importance when it comes to how that we should really be judging ourselves by the standard of God's Word. Now, as the writer is pinning this, we understand the balances of the day in which they weighed things. They had that little arm that went across there, and then they had a weight on each side. That's why it calls balances, because on one side of the balance there were some rocks or some weights that were supposedly exact. And then if you're going to buy something from that person, they say you're going to buy a pound. Of course, they didn't use that type of measurement in that day, but you're going to buy a pound. They put a pound of weights over here. And so you're going to buy a pound of, say, a pound of meat, and they put the pound of meat over here on the other side. But, you know, there were those in that day that weren't really honest about it. They might tip the scales a little bit while they were over there weighing your meat. They might have their thumb over here on this side of the scales and kind of pushing down a little bit, you know. And you think you're getting that full pounds over here on this other side, and you're really not getting the full amount. You're actually getting cheated. You're getting something less than that. Now, would that make you mad? That'd make all of us mad, wouldn't it? Somebody's cheating us like that. Of course, those rocks that they used, probably a lot of them had rocks. And if somebody wanted to get their rocks just right, they'd go to somebody else that had an accurate scale that they could trust. And they would put their rocks next to, on the other side of the scale, and they'd get their rocks exactly just like, you know, 5 pounds on each side. And so I've got my 5 pound weight. And if they're honest and they have integrity, then they're going to take their weights and they're going to use that. And they're going to be honest with everybody that comes their way. What are our rocks, anyway, when we're weighing something? I've already said it, God's Word. But, my friends, God's moral law, found in His Word, is the unchanging standard of our ethics as Christians and our moral conduct. It's the gold standard that will never change. It was the standard in the day of the apostles. It was standard in the day of Moses. It was standard in the morning of time when Adam and Eve were walking the face of this earth. Some people have said, don't bring me back under the law, but that's God's moral law. God's moral law has always been and always shall be, and it is through that moral law that God judges everybody. Now, the world wants to paint a picture today that there are some gray areas. In other words, the world wants everything to be gray areas. There's really no absolute right and absolute wrong. There's really no moral right and moral wrong. It just depends upon the person. But we find when we get out God's weights and balances that there is a truth. There is a right. There is a wrong. There is something that is true that we can build our lives on as Christians. As one man described it, they involve repentance towards God, faith in Christ, and holiness in the inner man, which is an evidence of grace in the heart. And along with all of this is a warning in the book of Proverbs of eternal shame. Eternal shame. And the Christian's eye is never on the moment, but it's always upon the end of the journey. It's always upon eternity and where we're going to be and be with the Lord in eternity and pleasing the Lord in this life. Now, you know, we can fool people. We can fool our peers. We can fool our parents. We can fool our husbands and wives when it comes to these weights and balances. We may tip the scales a little bit and say, you know, nobody will ever see that thumb over there on the edge of that balance. But I want to tell you something. We will never fool God, even for a moment. And as the writer pens these words, I think he's calling for self-examination in the heart of his son, which I believe should be in the heart of every one of us when it comes to our own personal integrity. When I was a kid running around Donelson Streets, My great uncle had a drugstore downtown, Harry Fuller. He had a pharmacy there. And he had some apothecary scales down there. And as kids, we'd like to go back there and see him weigh some things on those scales. I'll never forget it. He took us back there one day. And he placed these two sheets of paper on that balance beam. And he balanced them and got them just perfectly even. Then he took one of them off. And he put a mark with a pencil on one of them. And he placed it back on that balance. And you saw that balance go down on the side of that mark of paper. I thought, my goodness, I didn't know a mark on a sheet of paper could be weighed, that it even had any substance to it. But my friends, if Harry Fuller's scales could weigh just one little mark, do you believe that God can weigh even the tiniest fragments in our lives? When we use a balance or something that is not right, you can be sure that He sees everything. According to Psalms and Psalms 139, that even the thoughts of our hearts, that God knows that. He understandeth our thoughts afar off, according to the Scriptures. Now you stop and think about that for a moment. When Jesus Christ magnified the law to the Pharisees thought, well, we got it down just right. We're religious people. And Jesus magnified the law and He said, why, if you even look on a woman with adultery in your heart, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. I mean, he was looking at the minute details of the scale, wasn't he? You think about the consequences of the apothecary. I remember that one of my favorite shows is It's a Wonderful Life. And I love to watch it every time, every year about Christmas time, because it's a story that really causes us to stop and think about the blessings that God has already given us when we look at somebody else and wish that we had more than what we have. And in that story, there is a pharmacist, which, of course, was interesting to me, being a pharmacist. And this pharmacist had lost his son, and he was grieving and had taken to drinking. And in the story, he was back in his pharmacy measuring up all of his potions, and he had made this grave mistake. He'd put in a poison and measured it wrong in one of the capsules. And the young boy tries to tell the pharmacist about it, and the pharmacist didn't want to hear it and slaps the boy and bloodies his ear up and sends him on his way. Finally, it was recognized the mistake before it caused harm. But you know, if you get the wrong amount of a medication, even a good medication, it can poison you, can't it? We surely don't want anybody using false scales when it comes to measuring our medication. You don't want somebody giving you 100 milligrams of something when you're only supposed to have 1 milligram of it, because it'll poison you, it'll kill you. But I want to tell you something this morning. This is serious information that we're reading this morning. Because we think of the danger of a natural poison, which would poison the body. But then you stop and think about the false weights and measurements that we can use in our own life. And it's not a natural poison. The consequences of that are spiritual things that can poison our very souls when we use those weights and measurements that are not right. I've got four parts to this morning as we consider these weights and balances. Or three parts, I want to say. One is our weights and balances in our business dealings. I think that's the most obvious thought in this text of Scripture. But the second head has to do with our weighing of our own selves, judging our own selves. I've already alluded to that. And then the third part of my message this morning has to do with our business dealings with God Himself. All of those are contained in this one verse of Scripture. I've already mentioned that about business dealings. We don't want anybody tipping the scales if we're buying a pound of something. We don't want somebody having so many rocks over here that are not right and only getting a half a pound when we should get a pound. But we want people to be honest when we deal with them, don't we? And I believe the thing that there's a father writes this to his son. He's saying this. His son, when you go out into the world and you deal with other people, I want you to be honest with them. I want you to tell them the truth. I want you to give them a pound for a pound. If you sell somebody something, I want it to be an honest deal. I want you to give them exactly what they're paying for and don't cheat them. We hate it when somebody cheats us. And you remember that saying that used to go, fool me once, shame on you, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. I always thought about that because that tells us something. It tells me that a person can fool us one time because we've trusted them. We believe that they are people of integrity. We deal with them. We trade with them. We trust them. And we go back to them the second time because we know that they're people of their word. But if they cheat us that one time, then they've ruined themselves. They've lost their integrity in our eyes. And the father does not want his son to be a merchant or any kind of business person that goes out into the world and cheats a person. He doesn't want to cheat his employer when it comes to punching the clock. He doesn't want to cheat his employer when it comes to actually doing the job that his employer has given him to do. And if he has people working under him, he doesn't want him to cheat those people that has worked for him that deserve some pay. He wants him to be honest with them in all of his business dealings. I remember one time I bought a truck. And this person told me this truck was such and such year truck. And I thought, well, you know, that's a pretty good deal for that year of a truck. I got all the paperwork signed, paid the taxes on it. About 6 months later, I got looking in the glove compartment. You would think I'd have noticed it already. I found out that truck wasn't the year model they told me it was. It was a year older than what they told me. And I found out I didn't get such a great deal after all. That truck wasn't worth as much as I thought it was worth. I want to tell you something. That bothered me. I didn't call them up. But don't you know that if I ever went back to that place again, I was going to have all the paperwork in my hand. As a matter of fact, I was reluctant to ever go back to that place again. I thought, well, maybe it was just a mistake. And it could have been. I gave them the benefit of the doubt. But you know, when somebody doesn't do us right, we tend to lose our trust in that person. But what about us as Christians? When we go out into the workplace and the places that you go to, shouldn't we be honest in our dealings with others? Isn't that the way that we should live our lives? That people, I believe that people trust Christians more than any other people. But if God's house are not people that people can trust, then what does it say about the house of God and about Christianity in general? I've mentioned this before, talking about trusting people. The Donaldson, we used to go down to the grocery store here at Donaldson. And back then, you didn't even have to have money. You could go in there and just sign your ticket. Well, a man's handshake was his bond, wasn't it? If you shook somebody's hand, you knew they were going to do exactly what they said they were going to do. And if you signed that ticket at Donaldson, I guess there may have been a few people that didn't pay their bills, but for the most part, they were willing to write it down on something like the Jot 'em Down store. And they just write it down and you could walk out with what you needed and you could pay them later. My, how that's changed in our society today. It's hard to trust anybody anymore with an honest word or a handshake or charging things and trusting them to pay it off. And in the business world, I found, and I didn't do everything right all the time. I tried to, but there were times that you just make a mistake. I remember sometimes you'd be audited by Medicaid and they'd come in, and if you'd accidentally charged the wrong price for something, we'd had stuff out over the counter and you're supposed to give a different price if they get a prescription. Anyway, it's complicated. But sometimes they'd say, well, you didn't charge exactly the same, and they'd take some money back. And I thought, well, that's fair. You know, if we didn't do it right, you know, they're bound to get their money back. But I remember that there would be those, some that would sell a generic and charge somebody a brand name price for it. Or they'd take a bottle of liquid that was supposedly had the brand name on it and pour the generic in the bottle and sell it for a brand name. All kinds of things that people can use to cheat other people and get money. And this is a lot of this, is getting money illegally, getting money by trickery, getting wealth dishonestly. The father never wanted his son to get wealth dishonest. God calls it an abomination. He hates it. You think about the many ways that people get money dishonestly. Gaming tables. You go to the casinos. Places Christians shouldn't go. People wanting to get wealth quickly by throwing their money down. Lotteries, things like that. All of these things are dishonest in the eyes of God. We read in Matthew 16, verses 26 through 27, "For what is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man came in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works." That's red letters, my friends. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. You can count on it as the Father is writing this to his Son, that the Lord sees those little marks in the lives of every one of us. the most minute mark, the Lord knows it. He can weigh it. Every little thing. Now, we've looked at business dealings, but how about when it comes to the weights and standards that you and I use when it comes to weighing our own selves? Are we using the rocks on the side of the balance beam that are 100% accurate? Or are we using something maybe a little different? Do you use the same weights and standards when it comes to your own life as you do when you begin to weigh everybody else around you? You know, we might be able to judge and to see somebody else, and we can see that little line in the life of another person. But my goodness, we might have four lines in our lives. You remember Jesus Christ was talking about that when we could see the mote in our brother's eye, but we got a beam in our own eye. But this has to do with this text of Scripture. It has to do with just weights and balances. How we judge ourselves. And did you know that some of the most godly people can make a great error in this part if they're not thinking. You remember King David, a man after the Lord's own heart. How that he was judging Israel, placed in a great position of authority. And he lusted after Bathsheba. And then, after he had committed this great sin, she was with child, and he wanted to cover it up. He sent her husband to the front lines of the battle, and he was put to death by the enemy. He felt like he had it pretty well covered up. But you know, the Lord saw that little line in his life, and we might say that was a big line, wasn't it? And he sent a prophet to him. And I'm going to paraphrase this, but the prophet began to talk to David and said, "You know what, David? There was this person in your kingdom, and all he had was this one little ewe lamb. And this traveler came, and he had a big herd. And he killed that man and took his little ewe lamb. What do you think that we ought to do to that man?" And David said, "That man needs to put to death. We need to get rid of that man. Let's destroy that man." Why, David's judgment against that man was severe. And Nathan looked at David and pointed his finger in his face and said, "Thou art the man." David, you're using some false balances in your life. You're judging everybody else by a standard that you think you are far above in your life. You know, as Christians, you and I can do that in our own lives. We can get that balance out, and man, we'll fine-tune that thing. We'll get that thing fine-tuned, get those weights on one side, and man, we're looking at everybody else. Oh, man, they are off the mark, but not myself. I'm okay. I'm all right. Not me. Not me. No, sorry. You know, there's different ways that you and I can judge ourselves and put the wrong weights on the side. I remember a couple in Malvern, long time ago. They were members of a church there. I don't even remember the church they were members of. But this person came to their congregation, and this person had been involved in immoral conduct, but yet was on the road to repentance. And they began to rake that person over the coals and talk about how great sinner they were. They shouldn't be in the house of God. What in the world are they doing there? Finally ran the person off. 6 months later, the husband ran off and left his wife with another woman. You see how that we can, in our judgment of others, not see in our own lives those marks that we need to be looking at. I'm sure none of us will get all the marks right, but let me give you five thoughts on some specifics of some things that we have a tendency to do with what you might call divers' weights, weights that are not right. One thing that we do is when we're putting those rocks over there to judge, sometimes we judge ourselves by our peers. That's not right. We look at our friends and say, "You know, my friend, he does a lot worse than me. I got this friend. He seems to be doing okay, though. You know, he seems to be pretty prosperous. His house, got a nice house, nice car, nice clothes. He seems to be happy most of the time. He doesn't even go to church. You know, if I show up once a Sunday, then I'm doing pretty good." You know, is that the weights and standards that we're supposed to use in our own lives? I'm asking you something. Is that what we're supposed to use? Or are we supposed to use what's written in this book? The moral standard of God's Word. We can always find people around us that are doing worse than we are, can't we? I mean, my gosh. some of our best friends, we can point a finger at and say, you know, that person is really off the base on this area here, but you know, not me. I'm not that bad. I'm just a little bit better than that person. Judging ourselves by our peers. We can judge ourselves by our own feelings. That's another false weight. I really don't feel that bad about this. I can justify this action. Why? After all, you know, there is a special circumstance in my life, and I'm justifying myself by this particular reason, and so therefore, I'm you know, these weights that are in this book don't really apply to me. I've got a special set of circumstances in my life. I beg your pardon. Everybody's got special circumstances in their life. It doesn't matter who we are. We can all go by our feelings and say, you know, I just don't really feel bad about that. And if you can say that you don't feel bad about something, and you can look in the Word of God, and you can find that the moral standard opposes the way that you feel, I want to tell you something. You need to get down on your knees and start begging God that your cold heart will begin to love the Lord again and want to be where it needs to be and think like it ought to think. How far away from God we can get in our own feelings when it comes to basing what we do upon our feelings. The third thing we can do is judge ourselves by the world. Oh, we can look at Hollywood and, my gosh, those people are prospering out there. They're having a big time. They got money, cars, clothes. They got everything they need. And they're living lives that are really bad. I can justify myself by them. As long as I'm not really much worse than they are, then these balances are good for me. The world is never a place to set our standards. The gold, unchanging standard is the Word of God. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. And certainly Hollywood and the world and our peers are not those things. Well, there's another thing I think that we use sometimes when it comes to really looking in our own hearts and judging ourselves. And that has to do with our friends' opinions. Or the advice and counsel that we get from other people. We place it above the Word of God. Well, we can get some friends to tell us what we want to hear, can't we? It doesn't really matter what we, as long as there's something that we want, we can always get somebody to tell us what we want to hear. But what is the standard? We want the Lord to tell us what we want to hear, don't we? And sometimes the pastor is the one that is speaking to you through the Word of God what the Lord wants to say, because he's giving you the Scriptures. Our friends love us and they want to be our friends. But I love what one of the Proverbs says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend will tell you the truth every time. They're not there just to run you down and find that little mote and beam, but they're going to tell you the truth for your own good. Did you know that even religious people can compare themselves and find the false weight and standard? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul writes this concerning false weights and balances in a church. It's a church at Corinth. And he writes this at verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. In other words, their gold standard was themselves. We're okay. We've done doing this right. We're this, we're that. But really, what was their standard supposed to be? It was supposed to be the gold standard of God's Word. All of these false weights will result in a disastrous bargain with Satan, I do believe. I'll get to some specifics here in our society. I'll ask you some specific questions about when you judge others and think of yourself. Now, these are some that I come across. I don't know. You're going to come across some in your experience. I mean, if you're looking for the right weights and standards, you may see some. But I find that there are those that could be involved in drugs. That's a sad thing in our society today to see young people caught up in drugs. But yet they may not be caught up in some sexual perversion. Or they'll look at somebody with a sexual perversion and they'll say, man, that person is way off base. But I'm doing okay. I just use drugs. So they think that's okay. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. False weights and standards. But you know, I find this as well. I find that there are some that can be addicted to prescription drugs. There's a lot of, in pharmacy, there's a lot of people addicted to hydrocodone and things like that. They're addicted to substances that can destroy their souls. And they take those things and they're addicted to them. But they'll look at a child out there that's in high school or something that may be addicted to something illegal. My, that person is way off base. They're really off base. But you see, that's a false weight, isn't it? I mean, we're weighing other people, but we're not really weighing ourselves. There's another interesting one I come across in pharmacy all the time. I have people that come in, they'll be addicted to a substance. They'll try to get it early, try to forge a prescription. You'll go out and counsel with them, and you'll always say this. Now, when you're taking this medication, you should not drink alcohol. Oh, I never drink alcohol. I never had a drink in my life. But yet I'm eating hydrocodone so fast that I can barely find myself down the road. I'm telling you the truth. I'm talking about weights and standards and our own actions. When we are judging other people around us, but yet we're not really honest when it comes to our own dealings. Well, what about husbands and wives? Do you think we're always level on that playing field? I mean, if I go out and buy $200 or $300 worth of sporting equipment, and my wife buys a pair of shoes, and I get mad at her for that, am I being fair there? No. You know, sometimes when it comes to even in our own lives and our own houses, sometimes we can use an unjust weights and standards when it comes to judging those around us. Now, I could go into great detail on husbands and wives this morning. I'm not going to do that. I'm just giving you that one just for you to kind of think about a little bit. I thought that one would hit pretty well close to home for most of us, you know, because I've done that one before. So anyway, that's how I get all this, you know. I'm human too, so all the weights and standards here, I've been found balancing with the scale, tipping the scales myself in my own life. So, you know I'm hitting home this morning with you. I know I can see. I know you've all got some weights and balances in your life that may not be exactly like. I like one person said, men like the things they do and do the things they like. That's basically the way we are. If we like it, we do it. If we do it, we like it. But really, we should say, if the Lord loves it, I'm going to do it. That's the way I need to be balancing my life. We justify our actions. Excuses. The apostle said, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Did you know that you do not own your own life? If you confess to be a Christian this morning, you are the property of Jesus Christ. That's a thought. That means that in my balance beam, He is supreme. My thoughts, my actions, my life, what I do with my body, how I cast my vote, how I treat my wife, my husband, how I spend my money, everything falls under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the way it is as Christians. Talking about a fine line, weight on the scales, Jesus said this, but I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That's red letters. That's a pretty fine line, isn't it? But yet that's what the Word of God says. And in Romans 14 and 12, Paul wrote, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I think I would want to know the balances. I would want to know what it really says. If I'm going to do that, and we are. We do every day give account of ourselves unto God, whether we realize it or not. And Proverbs 16 and 2, Solomon wrote, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. A companion verse to this. All our ways are clean in our own eyes. Yeah, don't judge me. I hadn't really committed any sins this week. Let me ask you something. Listen to me. Are you listening? How many of you this morning have confessed a specific sin this week? A specific sin. If you didn't, then all your ways are clean in your eyes. You never sinned all week long. Hallelujah. We got some saints in here. I didn't know we had anybody here this morning that was without sin. But gosh, Jesus must be here. See these weights and balances? We really don't look at them in the way that we should. In the light of God's law. You remember that story in the Old Testament about Belshazzar, that Nebuchadnezzar? He was after the Nebuchadnezzar that the Lord smote down and he ate the grass as his ox. He was his son, and he was having a party one time. And so he decided, you know what? We're having a big party here. I got all my concubines, my wives, all my friends, they're here. Let's get out the gold and silver vessels from the house of God and let's drink wine in them and have a party. There was a man that never considered his own case when it came to the balances of God. And they got out and having their party, and this little hand came out just out of nowhere and wrote on the wall, "Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharum." And it says that his knees began to shake. And he began to call all the soothsayers and the astrologers. He got everybody that had any knowledge. And they got out their false weights and balances and began to determine what it was that God had said. And they couldn't figure it out. What has God said? And they go and find this old prophet called Daniel. And said, "Daniel, you prophesied to my father. Can you tell me what this says?" Now, you notice he goes to him last. Usually that's sometimes when we get the weights and balances out, it's the last thing we get out rather than the first thing. And he said, "This is the interpretation of the thing. The word meeni means God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." You will notice that meeni meeni was twice. And it wasn't meeny, meeny, miny, mo. It was the fact that God's numbered your kingdom and finished it. Sad words to a person that never considered the balances of God. We can weigh ourselves any way we want to in this life. But I want to say that God's going to make that final judgment. The Lord's the one that finally looks at the weights and balances. We can put our hand on the scales. But the Lord's the one that's looking at it, isn't it? What we want to do is know if we're balancing things the way He does it. My final point or heading comes under the thought of some business dealings that I think are very important to us as Christians. What about our business dealings with God Himself? Do you think we ever deal with Him personally? Sure we do. Have you weighed your actions toward Him in the balances of God's Word? There's a lot of ways in which we deal with the Lord on a personal basis. I'm not going to go into great detail. I want you to think about them yourself. But they have to do with our offerings, our prayers, our attendance in God's house. They have to do with our repentance towards God, our faith in Christ. These are all weighty matters. Matthew Henry said this about it. He said, "He is not an honest man that is not devout." In other words, the Lord's word is plain. And when we have deviated from that and we have placed our thumb on that scale on that other side, we are using a false balance. We are weighing things by the actions of our own hearts, our desires, what our friends say, comparing ourselves to the world and our friends around us rather than the word of God. There are serious consequences in that. We see them in the lives of people, but we think they will never touch us. There is another false weight and balance that we believe that really we get to the point in our experience that whatever's going on around us is just by chance. It has nothing to do with the Lord judging us. It's just chance. Sometimes those weights and balances get us into a lot of trouble in our experience. But I'll ask you in your dealings with God and your faithfulness towards Him, has He been faithful to you and His dealings towards you? Do you believe that He has? Has God been faithful to His people and His dealings towards us? I think so. I think He's been faithful toward us in every promise, every syllable of His word, and anything He's ever promised us. He's promised to send His only begotten Son, or He promised to pay for our sins. That was promised long ago in the Old Testament. He did it. He kept His promise. He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die for your sins upon the cross of Calvary. What if He had tipped the scales just a little bit on that? I don't think I'll really go to the cross. I may go down and be kind of powerful and make myself a kingdom. Where would you be this morning had Jesus Christ tipped those scales just a little bit and not been holy, harmless, and undefiled? What if He had just committed one sin? Maybe if he had just put one little mark on his side of the weight. What if he had just gotten that one little old bitty pencil mark on the other side of that scale? Where would you and I be this morning? We'd be in sad shape this morning. He promised to build his church for us. He promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against it, so his people could come and worship him. So far as I know, he's still doing it. Kept his promise, hasn't he? Kept that promise. He promised to send us a comforter, the Spirit of grace, to remove fear from our hearts that we would live in a devil's hell, to know that Christ has paid for our sins, that our hope is in Christ, that one day you and I are going to dwell secure, that even though we may go through trials and tribulations, the Apostle Paul says, for your light affliction is but for a moment, for it worketh for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, that one day you're going to live with the Lord in glory because of what Christ promised, that He has sent the Comforter into your heart, that you can cry, Abba, Father, and pray to Him and find that peace which passeth understanding that many people in the world do not know about. He's promised to be with us even into the end of the world, didn't He? I believe He is. I don't think He's deserted us for a moment, but maybe we have Him. He's promised to make a place for us when we leave this world, heaven itself. He said He was going to prepare a place for you, that there's going to be mansions of glory one day prepared for you. Do you think He did that? I think He did. I think it's there. I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad He didn't tip the scales a little bit and say, you know, I don't think I'll make that place. I did everything else. That's enough. Let them make their own place. He could justify himself and say, you know, I've done enough. They don't deserve it anyway. Look how they appreciate it. I'm not going to do it. You know, there's a lot of promises that God's made. He's promised to intercede for us in prayer so that requests from sinful lips can ascend to the Father's throne and be heard. What do you think this morning? Do you think He's still doing that? Is He keeping His part of that bargain when you are in desperation and you need a prayer answered? And you go to God in prayer and you're begging Him for a crumb that we preached on last Sunday. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is still seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession forth according to His will, according to Romans chapter 8? Do you believe that this morning? He's kept His promise, didn't He? Oh my gosh, how many promises He's kept for us. Every one of them. He's yea and amen, as the apostle said. He's kept every promise. What if He had tipped the scale a little bit and said, you know what? I don't think I want to listen to that person. I don't think I'm going to intercede for that person. Oh, He's kept it all, down to a jot and a tittle. And He's promised to raise His own from the dead when He returns. I believe He's going to do that too, don't you? I believe He'll keep that promise. But now, what about your dealings with Him this morning? Are you as faithful to Him as He is to you? If you are, say yes. I say no. I'm not. I know you knew one would say yes, but you know we're not. But you know, my question this morning is not perfection. My question this morning is self-examination. I want to know what you know. What has God revealed to you that you already know, that you're tipping the scales on? How are you cheating God? How are you being dishonest with Him? How are you? A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. The word abomination is a word that's not used many times in Scriptures. The word abomination is used for idolatry, sacrilege, and gross immorality. God hates it. Now we stop and think about it. All those things we've mentioned this morning. You stop and think about gross immorality. You stop and think about sacrilege or idolatry. None of us would have a problem this morning saying, man, God is right in that. It is an abomination. But now I want you to take all those things on that balance that you are not being right on. Where we tip that scale. And I want you to remember that too is an abomination to God. That's the word. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. But a just way is his delight. You know, you and I have the opportunity to move that scale over. We have the opportunity, and wherever that you and I are erring in our evaluation of ourselves, of our peers, our dealings with God, you and I have a great opportunity while we are in this life that we can look at things with just weights and balance, the gold standard of God's Word, the morality of God. I don't know that any of us would ever achieve perfection, but you know, I'm not giving you that out this morning. I'm not going to say, I know none of you can never really be just like Jesus. So that's all right. Use your false weights and balances. I'm not going to say that this morning. Because you and I aren't to look like that. We are to say, what is the weight and balance? Where am I erring? Move the scale over. Get it right. And get right with the Lord. That's what the Father is saying to His Son. Would you say that to your son? I would. And would Father say it to His people? Yes, He would. And as your pastor, would I say it to every one of us, including myself? Yes, I will. Because I can tell you, getting those weights right is a daily challenge, isn't it? A daily challenge. I hope that this week and in your life, that you will consider these weights and balances, that we will, the litmus test for everything that we judge will be the Word of God. May God add His blessings to you is our prayer.
Thank you for listening to Elder Neil Phelan, Jr. preaching from Harmony Primitive Baptist Church in Donelson, Arkansas.